This year was made available the Ili Nishmas
Rav Reb Lezer ben Rav and Tzion Gavril Hamburger. That's all.
Lamed Omer Beis. Five shulis before the Gemara spreads. Omar Rav bar Abed. Omar Rav Tzion bar Ashi. Omar Shmuel. Kol HaKelim Shenishtam Shibayim Lechomis B'Tzoynim. All those kelim that were used, cold for chametzdike things before Pesach, mishtamish by matzah. You can use matzah on Pesach. Now, we're following one perish. We'll soon see there are two perishes. You can use matzah even hot in kelim that were never used for hot for chametz. Since we used only for coal, so they didn't absorb anything. So therefore, even though you put hot matzah things into it, and hot things bring forth what's absorbed in the pores, but there's nothing of hummus that's absorbed in the pores. Chutz min bayis soil. Except a place, a keli, that they use to keep yeast, to keep dough that's soured, and it becomes a leavening material, like yeast. So that place has a very strong taste or effect, because yeast is a chemical that has an effect, and therefore the keli is boilea from the yeast, from the dough. Now, not ordinary dough, it's soya, dough that's left there to sour, to leaven, to make it like yeast. So that keli has absorbed a taste from the dough. Shechimutze kosher, because the chametz character of that keli is strong. Omar Rav Ashi, obeis chareses, a place where they keep anything sour made with vinegar, chametzik and vinegar, also kebeis domi, like a beis seir, shechimutze kosher domi. But the chametz is kosher, the same as a beisa. Finished. Say that little piece. According to this pshat, he's talking about hot matzah. In hot matzah, or hot matzah food, hot pesachdike food, it's mutter to put in kalim that we use only for cold things. But in a beisa, it's also to put hot matzah things, but cold pesachdike things you could put. That's one pshat. Now, that has nothing to do with what we do today, because we are knowing not to use any chametzik and kelim at all, even to put cold things into them. But we're talking according to the Ikar Din of the Gemara. There's another pshat as follows. He's talking about cold, but not cold chametzik, cold pesachdik things, but to make dough. If you want to put dough into a keli. Now the dough can easily become chametz, because dough is the fundamental material of chametz. Let it stand a little longer, it becomes chametz. So he says, all the keli that you use for cold chametz, you can make dough in them. But in the beisaya, the beis haresis, you cannot make dough, because the dough, cold dough, because the dough catches on the effect and becomes quickly soured. That's another one. Say that second shot. Do the small gemaras have the rush? Take a look at your gemara. Have the rush.
Yeah,
so let's finish up the gemara first. Omar Rove, finish the gemara. Hani Agni de Mechuzi. These basins, it means they're kneading basins where they knead dough in Mechuzi. Hoyel utidiri le meilish behu chamire. Since it's always tadiri that they knead in it dough, umashu bechamire, and they keep the dough there. Now this dough chamire means they keep the dough ordinarily all year round when they make dough. They make it; it should leaven; it should become chametz. Now it's not soya, not use this dough for the purpose of yeast, but it's dough used to make bread. So they allow their dough to stand and they come chametz, because that's how everybody makes bread all year round. It's like a bay soya that has a strong effect of chametz in it. So therefore you cannot use them to knead dough in those kalim, although he didn't put any soya there. Still, since it's used always for chametz nikkei dough, it acquires the same strength as a bay soya. One says pshita, certainly that's so. And for the Mo'amah, they say, what does your mind say? Kivan de Raviha, since they are wide kalim, sholid bu'avira, the air has control of it, means, and it evaporates the effect of the chometz. Not a small kalim with walls close together. They're flat, wide kalim. So I might think that the air carries off the effect of the chometz, below bole, and they're not bolea at the time of the chometz, kamash belon, it does. And therefore it's also to use that to put any chometz in. What does it mean? One pshat, you can't use any hot chometz there. Another pshat is cold dough. Pesach tikkei dough, you can't put there. Say that. It's in the left-hand column, Kuf Chof Hei Amid Beit, number Tess. Omar Shmuel. In the Perek, that always starts Aleph Beis Gimel. So Perek Sheni, paragraph number Tess. Omar Shmuel, we have a different nusa, but here's a Omar Shmuel. Kol HaKelim Shemishtamish Ben Chometz B'Tzoynen Mishtamish Ben Matzah. Yesh Sforin Agarsin B'Tzin. You can use matzah cold. That's how some have a sefer. Venire de loiga sinimitzin. He holds you don't say tzinim. Because, ala afilo vechamim, even with hot matzah, mutil yishtamish ben bimatzah. Since it was used only for cold chometz before Pesach, so on Pesach you can put hot matzah things in it. Even shekol ha-shono, lo nishtamish bohen chometz, kim bitzinim. Lo ibole, it didn't absorb any chometz. O mutil yishtamish bimatzah afilo vechamim. According to this, you can even pour hot Pesach Dikah soup into it. Chutz mi Pesach. The afal gav shalom nishtamish bo ela tzeinin. Still, hoyo lichimutzir kosher. Still, because it has a strong effect of chametz in it. Also, lishtamish matzah v'chametz. Aval betzeinin, with cold things, in a Pesach muta. Muta daniel b'matzah afuya. Matzah afuya means, not hot matzah. Cold baked matzah, you can put into it. Avololish by matzah, but to need matzah in a bay soil is awesome. Afalgav did seinen who, even though it was used only with seinen, and even though the dough that you're kneading now is also only seinen, it's awesome. The amayalach, because dough can quickly become chametz. So what is he learning now? That the heta to put matzah in chametz dikei kelim that he used the previous only by cold, you can put even hot matzah. And you can also knead dough in them also, cold dough. Even hot dough. You can put dough in, again. If it was used for cold before Pesach with chametz, then on Pesach you can put it in hot matzah in it. But if it's a base soil, it's also to put anything hot into it. But cold you can put into it, with the exception of dough. Because dough becomes chametz quickly. So even though the dough is not hot, and even though this kelim was never used for hot things, but since it's a base oil, chemutzer kosher, so you cannot put hot things into it, or you cannot put cold dough into it. First, say up to here. So far, if it's not a base oil, it was used for chometz cold before Pesach, you can put in hot chometz, and you can put in dough. But if it's a base oil, you can put cold Pesach things in it. But You cannot put anything hot into it. And even though not hot, you cannot knead in a baser. So once more now. If it's not a baser, it was used for cold before Pesach, it's not a baser, so you can knead dough there, and you can put in hot things, Pesach digger things there. If it's a baser, you can put cold things there, but you cannot knead dough there, and you cannot put hot things. Say it once more quickly, and we'll go on to the next. Omar Abaye Ubeis Chavaises Kebeis Soya Shechem Utsikoshe Kamen. Now the verse starts talking. Chilo Perez Rashi. Rashi has first said, the Mayri Hoch is talking below Hagolah. If he didn't kasha the Chomer Zike Keli, then still, if it's used for hot, for cold, you can put hot things on Pesach. But a Beis Soya cannot use unless you kasha the beisar, but if you kasha the beisar by means of hot water, then even the beisar becomes mutter to use on Pesach. And later Rashi retracted. Even though Gentile kelim, you can kasha, but hanu asire, these the beisar is also machmes chimutzi kosher, and therefore even hagola won't help. In the yetsi afal yedei hagola, say that. Brings Rashi's final decision that hagola won't help for a beisa, kashering won't help for a beisa. The chayim pirash Rashi, the hagola lo mahi will not help. The rechayim shel pilpul shel as wooden grind millstones or wooden grinder of pepper. Because wood absorbs and pepper is sharp, and since it was with chametz in it together, agole won't help. The agav churbe shall pilpul bolate, because of the sharpness of the pepper, it absorbs more and it won't help any agole. Chengdeli Shapiro, that's where you get Shapiro, a certain town in Germany, the great man of Shapiro. Rabbeinu Shmaria and Rabbeinu Avram and Rabbeinu Yehuda who are Yisrael Beisoya afilu b'Hagola. But Einir Adari, the Rih says no, he disagrees. He holds Hagola will help for a Beisoya. The Balua al Yedei Tzoynen lo yifta b'Hagola. I think that the absorb, it's Bitzmiya, the Balua al Yedei Tzoynen, because after all they absorb by means of cold. What is a Beisoya? You didn't cook anything, you just put yeast there. Was absorbed by means of something cold, it will not give forth the Hagola. He's talking about not making any kind of Hagola. So he says, ordinary kelim that use cold before Pesach, you can use hot on Pesach. Doesn't mean make any kashering them. That's the case. Hutzim Beisar also means you can't use it without kashering. Shemishtam shem bebelo heksha. Abo al yedei heksha shoy. So therefore, the Ri holds that kashering will surely help even for a Beisar. When the Gemara says a Beisar is also to use, it means a Beisar without Hagola. Say that. Back to our Gemara. If you have time, you can learn further in the Rav some other time. Lamed Amid Beis, Mishtaring Yesugi, the Mishnah. The Mishnah Nochri. This is one of the famous Sugiyish in Shas. And the Sugiy called Baal Chlev, Mi Kandu Lahaba, who gave it, or Lamachle, who gave it. Machlek is a Bible of one of the famous Sugiyish. Now start the Mishnah. Nochri, Shehil Boaz Yisrael, Al Chomse. A Goy loaned money to a Jew on the Jew's chometz. That means the chometz was assigned as a mashkin. In case the Jew won't pay the debt, the goy owns the chometz. And it happened that the Jew did not pay up. So the chometz belonged to the goy. But the question is, what's the status of that chometz after Pesach? Is it like chometz shall Yisrael shomer al Pesach? And it's also by Noe? Or is it like chometz of the goy? She says, "Achara Pesach muta b'hanoye." It's considered like the chometz belongs to the goy. And therefore, it's mutar b'hanoyah. Now Rashi explains, the Gemara says it's talking about a case where the Yisrael didn't keep the chametz in his house. He deposited the chametz in the house of the goy. Because he kept it in his house, even though the chametz was meshubit to the goy, but the Yisrael has responsibility for it. If it goes lost, you'll have to pay the goy from other money. So since the Jew has responsibility, if there is a shush, it's eva. But it was in the shush of the goy. So if you'll say, when the Yisrael didn't pay up eventually, the chametz originally belonged to the goy. But as soon as when the Pesach is over and didn't pay up, so retroactive, the chametz were the goy's chametz. Were the goy's chametz in the goy's house. So if it's mutar b'hanoyah, you can buy that chametz from him and eat it. Again, the Yisrael was mishabed his chametz, he mortgaged it to the goy for the chayv. But he put it in the goy's house. And he didn't pay up the chayv. So after Pesach, the chametz is considered like the goy's chametz, and it's not also b'hanoyah. If the chametz had been in the Yisrael's house, it would be a different story. But the Yisrael is responsible for that chametz. If it goes lost, he has to pay the goy from other money. So therefore, it would be also b'hanoyah. But since he deposited the chametz in the goy's house, and the loan was made before Pesach, and the Jew never paid up, so it's like the goy's chametz, and it's mutar b'hanoyah. Now the other case, Yisrael shehil bo'es hanochi al chametzoi. A Yisrael loaned money to a goy on the chametz of a goy. In any case, achar haPesach also b'ano, even though it's in a goy's house, after Pesach it's also b'ano, because the Yisrael, we say, became the owner of it from the beginning. That's how we're learning at the time being. Since eventually the goy didn't pay up, so igloy milsir mafia retroactive, the Yisrael owned that chametz. There was also about no, even though the chametz was in the goy's house. Say that. Eat now we learn Baal Choyv. Suppose somebody was mishabed, he mortgaged something to a Baal Choyv in case he wouldn't pay him. Abayo ma'al ma'freya, who gave it? Finally, when the debt is not paid and the Baal Choyv collects that object, he is collecting retroactively from the time that the debt was made. And he owned it previously from the time that he loaned the money. Baba says, when the debt is not paid, that's the time when the Baal Chayv gains ownership. Mikando Lahaba, who gave it, from now on, he collects. We don't say retroactively became the owner from the time of lending the money. Now the more explains. Kol heche de agdish leve. Suppose the leve was magdish this property. Resolving leve, or the leve sold it to somebody else. So here, in these two cases, kulal malopriga, nobody will differ. The malde can come and collect. It's even vove, who says, mikando lahabe hu goive, still he had a shibet on that property. And the man who was magdishit or sold, had no right to sell something that's been shubit to somebody else. So therefore, the sale is not a sale. He can't sell what's not been shubit, what's been shubit to somebody. Because the malde has a shubit on, even though you say he didn't own it. Even according to the Rabbah holds, Baal Chayv, Mikano Lahabu gave us, he didn't own it at the time that the labor was magdishit or sold it, but he had a shubit on it. And therefore, he cannot sell what belongs to somebody else with a shibit. And it cannot be a magdish that belongs to somebody with a shibit, because Gdusha's domim is not mafkiyah made a shibit. We'll soon explain that more. Therefore, kulam lo pligi, nobody differs. The osir malvi, the malvi can come and take it away from one who bought it from this leve. And osir malvi, in case the leve was magdishit, uporik, and the malvi can redeem it for a pittance, just for a small coin, just for the Yetzir. That now we learn in a case like that, Mosif Oidin as a dinar, means besides what he had loaned money on the object, he gives one more dinar to redeem it, or Podes and the Chosim, where he can redeem it. Because since he had a shibit on it, the lady had no power to be Magdish, was not fully his. And since there's a shibit, of the Malbe, so the Hegdish of the Leve is not Chal. First, they had a Peter on the Rashi. Key plea, when is a Machlegis of Bayer of it? The Zov in Malbe. The Malbe sold it to somebody before the time came to pay up, and the Leve didn't pay. Because the Malbe was Magdish it before the time came to pay up, and it didn't pay. Abai Amar Amafei, who gave it? But the time came and the Levi didn't pay, so the Malva retroactively became the owner. Kiva the Mota Zim the Vilopoli, since the time came and he didn't pay him, Igloi Milsa Mafreya, the thing is retroactively revealed, the Miyukola Bishusa Bikoi, that from the beginning it was in the Bishus, in the jurisdiction of the Malva. Vishapil Agdish, Vishapil Zom, he had a right to make it Hegdish and to sell it. Rabbi Amar, Mikando Lahaba, who gave it. No, he doesn't make him own it retroactively. Why? Kiven the Lahaba Lezuz, having a salary like he was losing. If the Levi would have money, he could get rid of the Malva by giving him money. He could stave him off with money. Ishtaka, to his family, it comes out. Ishtaka, his family, it comes out. The house to Kokoin now, when the time comes, he doesn't have money. That's when the Malvas came in. But up till now, the Levi could have kept the Malbe from getting the property. But Robe only holds. The Levi has no power over it to be Makdish and sell it, so it's not in the Levi's jurisdiction because the Yeshiva has the Malbe on it, but it's neither the Malbe's property either. It's not the full property of anyone. So the Levi cannot sell or be Makdish because the Yeshiva has the Malbe on the property, and the Malbe cannot sell or be Makdish because he doesn't acquire the ownership until the time comes and the Levi doesn't pay up. Say that. Rashi, the top line. Osi Malvi Uporik. The top line of Rashi. Osi Malvi Uporik. The Malvi, if the Levi was Magdish, the Malvi can come and redeem it from Hegdish. Uporik mina Hegdish. With a little nothing. Today, why does he do it? Actually, it's not Hegdish, because the Levi didn't have power. It's Meshuvah to the Malvi. Kedei shelo yom, people shouldn't say hegdish yetsi belo pidyon. So therefore, he goes through a formality of giving something. Ve'goy ve'choy, and the Malbe collects it for his debt. Kedanan be'erchen, and Perek Shema Yosef, it says as follows: Hegdish betishim monim. It was magdish something. It was worth 90 monim. Ho'yachay ve'meyim monim. His debt was more, so he has a right to take away the object for his debt. Still, Moisif Malve Ze Alvosi adds to the previous loan that he made a dina to show that he's redeeming. Operates on the chosim halol me'ad hegdish bedina ze. Benutan, he takes the property v'chayve. Now bedina the yoed, why does he give a dina? Actually, doesn't have to give anything. Meforish time yehosim explains shalom yoyim hegdish v'lepidyon. Yafal gav don arav. Now that's a kasha. Why shouldn't the Levi have power to be Magdish? After all, intrinsically it's still his, according to Rava. And then Baal Chayv doesn't acquire it until the time comes when the Levi doesn't pay up. And all the Baal Chayv has a Shibit. So why shouldn't you say, like Rava said, Hegdish or Chometz or Shichra Mafkimi de Shibit? Hegdish takes out from the man's Shibit? Let's say, if a man owes money to somebody, and he was mishabed something to that person. If mishabed, let's say, his cow to that person for the debt, then he's magdish the cow for a comb. So we say, forget about the malve, I don't raise anymore because Hegdish takes it out from the shibet of the malve. So why here shouldn't it be that way? Same as chometz and shichra. We'll talk about it some other time. But we see that Hegdish is mavkime de shibet. So why shouldn't the leve, even though it's mishubet to the malve, the Levi is Magdish, the thing, should take it out of the Malva Sheba. And so it's Daf Kikdushas HaGuv come out of it, like a Korban. Yes, there you say, Hegdish Mavkimi Sheba. Economist, Economist means the Isha of a Neda, it's also too like a Kedem, because a Kedem is like a Korban. Oh, Behemo, the Korban. These things, once you're Magdish in this manner, then it's like a Mavkimi Sheba. Or obeged shepel shalames, or if you put a beggar on a dead body for the purpose that this beggar should accompany the dead body to the grave. That's also like hegdish. And there, even though that beggar was meshubit to somebody else, it's mafkimi de shibit. Gabi itzta, like a garment, the milsa of precious wool, the perusua yasmamis, that the assumption spread out on the dead man, and with the intention to go to the grave with him. There, it's mafkime de shibet. The habi mishtabit, miksubashisha. After all this, the garment was mishubet to the dead man's wife's ksubet. And still we say she cannot collect her ksubet from it. But marobe, kanya mish, a dead man, acquired it. So this intrinsic kedusha in mafkime de shibet. Avogdusha's dom, if you're magdish, let's say, a chair or something else, it's not going to go on the mizbeach. It's only for hegdish to sell it and get money from it. Kedusha's domim is a lesser form of kedusha, and it's not mafkir from the shibet. So the lever is magdish, an object that's been shibet to the malve, the hegdish not mafkir from the shibet, and it remains not hegdish. And the malve can collect it subsequently, even though he'll hold the account of the habu who gave it. And he just pays a small coin to redeem it from hegdish. Loyal, we don't say that's mafkir from the shibet. So kedusha's domim, not mafkir from the shibet. Say that. This goes on the machlekes of Abaye and Rove. Abaye holds Baal Chayv. The mafreya, who gave it? When the time comes to pay up the debt and he does not pay up, so the collector who takes the property of the levy owns it as of the time when the loan was made. It means retroactively, he owns the property. And Rove says, no, he owns it only as of the time of collecting it, taking it. The Kanda Lahabu who gave it. That's the machlek. Talk it over to your neighbors. Did Rove say that? The Kanda Lahabu who gave it. Omar Rove. Omar Rome Bachom. Uben Shemocha Sodele Shimon Bachrayas. Means he promised him that if anybody to whom I owe money will take away this field from you, because the man's property is meshubed to his chayves. So Yehovin said to Shimon, if somebody will come and say, Mr. X, my malva will come and take away the field from you, it's bachrayas. I'll make it good. I'll reimburse you. Uskofon all of the milve. But the money for the field, Shimon didn't pay with it. It was set up as a loan. Now, why he said that language, we'll learn Tesis later and see why he says that. So Shimon did not pay Reuven for the field. He bought a field from him, didn't pay him. The field was sold to Shimon with a guarantee in case Mr. X, the Malve, who had loaned money to Reuven, will take away the field from Shimon, Reuven will make good the field to Shimon. Ubor Reuven. Yes. Reuven is Umes Reuven. And Reuven the seller died. But also Baal Chayv de Reuven will call Mr. X, to whom Reuven owed money. The Torah for Lai Shimon. He took away the field from Shimon. He said, that field you bought from Reuven owed me money. So his field was Meshuvah to me. Now Shimon's without a field. We also Shimon, who paisib is Shimon came and appeased Mr. X with money. He said, here's money. I'm going to pay you for the chayv that Reuven owed you, so don't touch my field that I bought from Reuven. So now Shimon has the field, but he's out the money. He lost the money because he had to pay the Baal Chayv. Now Shimon wants to get the guarantee fulfilled that Reuven had promised him. And the Baal Chayv, Mr. X, will take away the field. Reuven will make good. So he wants to collect from Reuven's estate the money for the field that he had to pay for to keep it. Dinehu, the din is as follows. The children of Reuven can come and say, the Omelech said to Shimon, what do you want to do? You want to say that the money that you paid to the Baal Chayv, and thereby you lost the field, thereby you kept the field, So now you want to hold that money, that amount of money, and keep it instead of paying us for the field that you bought from our father. That's what Shimon wants to do. She wants to hold the money they're supposed to pay their father, and the children inherit the money that's owing to their father. That's the din. All chayvus, when a man dies, his children inherit. They owe his children. So now Shimon really owes Reuven's children money for the field that he bought from Reuven and he didn't pay him. But Shimon said, why should I pay Reuven's children for the field that I bought? Reuven owes me achrayas. He'll make good. But the field was taken away. The field was taken away. So therefore, instead of paying the children for their debt, I gave the money to the Baal Chayv. He shouldn't bother to Mr. X, he shouldn't bother me. So the children can say to Shimon as follows, you have no business. We have no business saying that the money owed us for buying the field from our father, that's the money that we have to give you to make good the achrayas that our father promised you. Anan metaltali shova kabun gabok. Our father left movables with you. He didn't leave any real estate with you. A chayv is metaltali. You owed money to our father for the field. And that debt, when our father died, we inherited that debt. You owe us that money. And the movables of Yosemim are not meshubet to a Baal Chayv. You're our Baal Chayv. You want to collect from us because our father guaranteed to you to make good. It's a Baal Chayv, Mr. X, to take away from you. But we didn't have any property, any land that was in your possession. It was metaltalim, debt that you owe us. And metaltalim of a Yisraelim are not meshubet to their father's debt. Now, once more, I'll say the whole story again. Reuven had borrowed money from Mr. X. So naturally, Reuven's property is meshubet to X. In the meantime, Reuven went and sold his field to Shimon. And Shimon didn't pay him the money. Shimon owes Reuven money for the field. But when Reuven had sold the field to Shimon, he had guaranteed him achrayas. He said, if my malva, Mr. X, will take away the field from you because of the money that I owed him, I'll make good. I'll see that you are reimbursed for the field. So now, you have like a double thing. Shimon owes money to Reuven for the field. He didn't pay it. But Reuven will owe money to Shimon to make good if the Baal Chayv took away Shimon's field. That's what happened. Reuven died, and the Baal Chayv came and took away Shimon's field for the debt. Only Shimon said, don't take away my field. I'll pay you the money for the debt. So now Shimon says to the children of Reuven, look, it's true I owed money to your father for the field. It's true you inherited that debt. So I owe money to you. But since your father owes me money because he guaranteed to make good the field if X took away from me, so then I owe you money for the field. Your father owed me money to make good because the field was taken away from me. Therefore, I keep the money. I take the money that your father owes me to make good for the field. And therefore, Rami Bachame said, it's no good. For the children can say to Shimon as follows, you owe us money. There's no question about that. When the father died, we inherited that debt. Now you owe us the money for the field. You didn't pay for the field. You owe us the money for the field. Our father's obligation to pay you in case the field was taken away from you by Mr. X. That's our father's obligation. We didn't promise it. Our father promised it. Only our father's nechosim, our father's real estate, is mortgaged to you for that shibud to make good if X takes away the field from you. But he didn't leave any field over. Our father had no fields. Nothing left over. Only thing left over was a money debt that you owe him. And now we inherited that money debt. It's our money debt. It's our metalfalin. And you want to take away our metalfalin of faith to make good our father's obligation to you? Metalfalin, you say, we are not obligated for their father's debts. In fact, we had a field, right? You could collect our field. But the field was from our father. And it's obligated to make good the achayas. But we don't have any field. All we have is money that you owe us a debt. That's metalfalin. Now that the father died, it's our money, the metalfalin. So you cannot take away metalfalin of the same to make good for the father's obligation. First, you have to hear. First, just to review briefly, the Yisraelim, the children of Reuben, say, we owe you nothing. Our father owed you. So only our father's property means if he had karka left over, it would be mishubit. He left no karka over. So we have no obligation toward you. Because metaltalim of Yisraelim are not obligated for their father's debts. And since it's a chayv you owe us, it's metaltalim. And therefore, you cannot seize our metaltalim to pay the father's debt. He owes you money to make good the achrayas. Now, to complicate matters a little bit more, the Sefer Teisa said, had Reuven not made it a chayv, now Zakhar Lemilde, Shimon would have owed him money for the field to Reuben. It would have been payable any time. It's still payable. It wasn't made a debt. A debt means, you don't have to pay me now. I'm giving you a year. So before the year, it's like not payable. So had he not made it Lemilde, so Shimon could argue like this. When your father was alive, I owed him the money for the field. I didn't pay him yet. So therefore, I seize the money then to make sure that in case after he dies, X will take away the field from me, I'll be reimbursed for the achayas. It's like tafas. Or tafas, a different story. Suppose a man owes money to somebody, he dies, and leaves over a metaltalin to his yorshim. But the other party to whom he owed the money had seized the metaltalin while the father is still alive. A different story. If A owed money to B, and B seized some of A's metaltalin while A was still alive, and then A died, then A's yosemite cannot say, A's yosemite cannot say, give us our metaltalin, because the metaltalin of yosemite are not meshubit to the father's death, but the father's metaltalin were meshubit. So at the time that A, that B seized A's metaltalin, A was still alive with the father's metaltalin. So therefore, had it not been Zokven Avim Milvin, so Shimon can say, I owe your father the money for the field. I didn't give it to him. I was holding your money. I seized that metaltalin. Even though your father died, it was his metaltalin that I seized. So I'm holding it for the achayas that your father owed me. But the field was taken away from me. But since it was Zokven Avim Milvin, it wasn't payable at all. Money wasn't payable till a year or two. In the meantime, the father died. So the Yisraelim, you didn't seize anything, because there was nothing that you owed yet. The owing is only when the time is up. The year of the term is up, then you owe them money. But before that, you didn't owe them money yet. And so if you seize your own money, you didn't seize the father's money, because the father wasn't demanding any money of you yet. It was a builder. So you seize your own money. You didn't seize our father's money. Now you want to seize the money that we inherited from our father, the debt. Can't take away the talcum you say me for the father's death. We can talk that over. In case that last point you didn't get, don't worry about it. It's a minor point. Let me go further. Now, Shimon is out all the money. He paid money to X for the field, for the loan. And the promise that Reuben made to make good is not being fulfilled because Reuben is there. And he has to pay the Yisraelim the money he owed their father for the field, because the Yisraelim inherited the debt. And that's metaltalin. He can't seize that. Metaltalin, the Yisraelim, he can't seize after the father died, he can't seize for the debt. Oh my Lord, Rabbi says a way out for Shimon. Shimon can do a trick and be reimbursed. Shimon is clever. He doesn't pay the children any money. Magvil, who gives him a piece of land, takes a piece of his land that's worth their money for the field that they owed their father, and gives it to the son in payment for the field that he bought from their father. Now they have land that they collected for their debt that was owing to their father. So it's like their father had left over land, because since the Shimon had that land, the land was already meshubit. The land was meshubit. Shimon had that land, so it's like their father's land already. Shimon had land, and he owed money to their father paying for the field. So Shimon's land that he has is meshubit to the father, like their father's land. So when Shimon pays land to the Yesoimim, he's paying them land that was their father's land. So you see the idea how that works. Again, so Shimon, when he pays land to the Yesoimim, he's paying them land that was meshubit to the father's debt. But he owed money to their father. So it's a father's land. So I mean, you have now your father's land. And now Shimon goes and jumps right back and takes away the land, because the father's promise to make good is chal on that land too. Again. Oh my love, EPK, Shimon is clever. He pays land to the Yesoimim for the field that he bought from their father. Now the children have land. And that land was a payment that was owing to their father. So like their father's land, not their land. It's like they inherited their father's land. Then Shimon can go and collect from that, because the father owes him money for Achayas. So you can say that in a second. We'll soon talk over again. But first, a little preface. Suppose Yesoimim inherited money from their father. The father owed money to a lot of people. Owed money. But they inherited money from their father. No land. So they laugh in the face of all the other favors. We didn't inherit any land. We don't pay for our money. Even though we inherited money from their father, it's our money now. Now they went and with the money they bought land. Do they have to pay the debts to their father? No, it's their land. Keep that in mind. It'll come in handy soon. Now, back to our Gemara. So Rava said, if Shimon is a Pikeach, he gives land to the Yesoimim. And that land was paid for a debt owing the father. It's considered the father's land that they inherited. That's why the Shimon cannot come and take away from the land, because the father owes him achrayas. Omar Rav Nachman, Yesoimim shegavu karke b'cheves aliyim. Yesoimim that collect land for their father's debt is considered like their father's land, not like they bought land. They consider like their father's land. Baal chayv chayzer gaveis, instead of Baal chayv, to whom their father owed money, can collect from that land. Since they collected the land for their father's debt, it's like their father's land they inherited. Therefore, the Baal chayv, to whom their father owed money, can collect from that land. See it also. If Shimon gives land to the Yesoimim, because he owed money to their father for their field, so he's giving the land for a debt owed to their father. Now Shimon said, look, you inherited land from your father. I'll collect from that land, but your father promised to make good the achrayas. Say that. Go back and talk it over again, the whole business. Now, the point is this. We're saying that if the children and collected land for their father's debt, it's like their father's land. The question, how is it their father's land? It wasn't their father's land. They got it after the father died. So it means Baal Chayv Lemafreya Hu Goyve. Oh, that brings in the question. Now it's like, this way, right? If you said like Abai, not like Hove, Lemafreya Hu Goyve. When you collect, you're collecting all the way back. So when the children collected a field from Shimon for the money they owe their father, it's like the father had collected already. Am Tuloch, therefore, Chayzeve Gevezeve. Because then Shimon can collect the land from the children. Because they command the government behind the window. It's like they collect while the father was still alive. If Baal Chayv and Afrehu gave it, you go all the way back to that time when the debt was contracted, and when the Shimon owed Reuben the money, in the time when Reuben was still alive, and therefore when the children finally collect the land from Shimon, The mafreya who gave it is like the father collected it. It's a father's land that they now have. So therefore Shimon can say, you inherited your father's land, and I'm going to collect from you for the achrayas. If you say, me kandel abu who gave it, it becomes the land of the collector only when he collects it, but not previously. When did the children collect? After the father died. If that's the case, how can the Shimon go and collect from that land? It's like land that the children bought after the father died. The children bought land after the father died. Can the Balchid collect from them? Or have you command the Zovin Yasmin Yipsi, like this? You say, we bought land. It's like they bought land after the father died. If the Yisemin bought land after the father died, is it obligated to the Balchid? If the Yisemin kandel habu gave it, so when did the children acquire the land in collecting it from Shimon? As of now, after the father is dead. As of now, is their land, but the father is dead. But since we say, if Rava said, if you give the land, if Shimon gives the land to the Yisemin, it's like it was previously collected while the father was alive, so it's the father's land. That's why Shimon had the right to go back and collect for the achrayas from that land. See, talking about it. And to remember Yisemin that inherited metaltalin from their father, even though the father owned the metaltalin, he had metaltalin, and the father owed money. But when the father died, his children inherited metaltalin, the metaltalin of Yisemin, are not meshubit to a balchayim. But karakit that they inherit from the father's meshubit. And even karakit that was paid to them for a debt of their father is also like the inherited karakit of their father. If you'll hold the mafreya who gave it. Metaltalin, suppose you would collect metaltalin. See, the mafreya who gave it. Still, even if it's real metaltalin that their father possessed all the time, still, the same inherited metaltalin, yes, but not meshubit to balchayim, that's all. Metaltalin not sharing the account, mafreya who gave it, because when children inherit, before they had father had metaltalin, he had a chair in his house all his life. Is that the father's metaltalin? Surely. Don't need a mafreya who gave it. It's the father of metaltalin. And the father died, it becomes metaltalin. You ask me about hey, let me start. That's all. Only karket is meshubit. So you say, when you collected karket for their father's debt, it's like the karket. If you say the mafreya who gave it, I mean the father had collected the karket already in his lifetime. Or the father's karket. And the children inherit meshubit to the father's debt. Father metaltalin, the children don't have to give. Push it. Think it over. It's just it. It seems that you hold the mafreya who gave it. And think, well, no, not because mafreya gave it. The reason that if Yishemim collect karka for the father's debt, the Baal Chayv come and collect from it, not because it's considered like the father's karka that they inherited, but they collected it. A karka, the father's death, like they heard the father's karka. No, different reason, no. Shan, the other is different there. The Amalahu, Shimon says to them as follows. Although the land was never the father's property, we hold the account of the harbor gave it. The land never was their father's property, but he never collected it while he was alive. But it was a shibet. The land was meshubet to your father. I owed him the money for the field that I didn't pay, so the land, my land, was shubat to your father for the debt. So, like I'm a shubat to your father, I'm a shubat also to mixer X. It means this: your father owed money to X. He was a shubat to X. And I've been a shubat to your father, but I owed him money for the field that I bought, and I have a field. So therefore, my field was meshubit not only to your father, it's meshubit actually through your father to Mr. X. Your father owes Mr. X money, and I owe your father money for the field. So my field that I have is meshubit to your father. No, it's meshubit to Mr. X. And that's why Mr. X has a right to come and collect the field. Now, same as also. I am meshubet to your father. I owe him money for the field that I didn't pay him. Your father was meshubet to me for the achrayas. He promised me achrayas. So therefore, I have a right. That field is meshubet to me, not to your father. That field is meshubet to me. Therefore, I have a right to collect. So now, once more. When you say men collect land for their father's debt, a Baal Chayv can come and collect from that land, because that land was meshubit to the Baal Chayv while their father is still alive. And therefore, even the father didn't own it, didn't own the land, could become an obligate, but a shibit there was. So therefore, the shibit that the Shimon had to their father for Achayas, the father had the Shimon had to the father owned the money for the land that he bought from him. Your father had a Shimon to Shimon for Achayas. So Shimon says, the money that I owe your father really owing to me. And therefore, I collect the money through Shibud the Abnosim. Not because it was your father's property. Inside now. Again. Shani, let's go back one line. It's different there. The Omalu, Shimon can say to the Yosemin, Kehechid mishtar badne leila buchet, just like I was meshubet to your father. The money I owe your father for the field that I didn't pay him, mishtar badne naami lebal cheila buchet, I would be meshubet to the man to whom your father owes money, to Mr. X. He is the same thing also. Just like I am meshubet to your father for the money I didn't pay for the field, your father is meshubet to me for the money of the achrayas that he owes me to make good. And therefore, I'm collecting not because it was your father's field. The shibit I had on the field while the father was still alive. I said, this field that I'm giving you in payment for the debt I owe your father. That field is meshubet to me. I'm not collecting a field that you bought after your father's death. I'm taking a field that was meshubet to me, not because it was your father's field. It was never your father's field. We call it Abu Gaver. But since I owed money to your father, and your father owed money to me, so therefore I can collect that field that I have right in my possession all the time, because that field, which was meshubet to your father, is actually meshubet to me. I say it once more. Shimon says to the children, the field I have, any field I have here, the field. This field was meshubet to your father for the money I owed him. I didn't pay for the purchase. I owe the money. But your father is meshubet to me for achrayas. So therefore, I am meshubet, this field is meshubet to me in a circular reasoning. Since you meshubet to your father meshubet to me, so the field is meshubet to me. Then I'm taking the field that's meshubet to me. Not because ever was your father's field. So even though Jimmy Kahneman Habu gave it, never was your father's field, but it was meshubet to me because your father is meshubet to me. If I take away the field as a shibet, now I have a right, because I owed money to your father owed money to me, so I owe the money to myself, if I can take it away. How do I know? A owes money, wants to collect money from B. B wants to collect money from C. Shimon C, but you take the money from C. The nation says, give it to A. A says to B, owe me money. B says, and B says, C owes me money. So A goes to C and says, give me the money you owe B. For the money you owe B is really my money, but B owes me money. That's Shibud of Abnosim. Abnosim, he gives to whom the principal really belongs. It's an extra pasuk. He gives to the one to whom ultimately the money belongs. So Shimon says, ultimately money belongs to me, not because the Nafreho gave it. I owed money to your father, it's true. Your father owed money to me, too. And therefore, the shibet on the field that I have was meshubet to your father, meshubet to me. Say that.
This shiur was made available by kolavigda.com. To sponsor a shiur and help us grow the Avigdor Miller's Gemara Shiurim, call or text 347-541-8051 or email us at kolavigdor.com. That's info@kolavigdor. Thank you.